Garda Sean Swinn is going to be joining us shortly with the very latest appeals and information from On Garda Sí Ócáin. You hear him first here on the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. So stay tuned for that and so much more besides. Some of your comments here. How do you investigate yourself is the question for the NSAI, especially when they designed and created a standard that's based on what is not the cause of the defects in Donegal properties. Mica or freeze thaw cannot reduce the Newton strength of a concrete block or any concrete product, which makes the standard unworkable. With the standard that the NSAI automatically adopt from the EU directives, blocks EN771-3, the Newton strength of the blocks and foundations is progressively reducing due to pyrotite, and when other sulfides are present with pyrotite, it is reclassified as total sulfides. Permitted levels of TS is 0.1%. Internal sulfate attack on the blocks and external and internal sulfate attack in the foundations is the problem, not mica or any level of mica. And I think that's generally accepted. And I know there have been, and judging by the wording of this, this is a person with knowledge of this. Yeah, we accept that. That's why we were questioning yesterday the inclusion of mica in the draft document of the review of that protocol. But I think that's the generally accepted science now at this point. Hi, Greg. We are demolishing our home within the next month and are at a crossroads with regards to the foundations. The concrete used for the foundations was from a supplier from Northern Ireland, and we're confident the foundations will pass any test in relation to any defects. However, we've been informed that home insurance will be refused if you rebuild on the current foundations or charged a rate that's unaffordable. Can you put this up to your listeners in hope that someone in this predicament can tell us exactly the situation? This is a complicated one because they're confident of the source of concrete, but they're building on top of that. And, you know, if the house is ever for sale or in fact, if it's ever to be insured, which of course it has to be, you might be asked, well, this is a new build. Did you change the foundations? What do you do in that situation? What do these people do? You can't just change the foundations because there's a huge cost if you're confident the foundations would pass any test. Do you test them before you start building? There's bound to be someone out there, given the thousands that are affected, that can give advice to this listener. They're concerned that home insurance might be refused, although pay a premium for retaining the old fans. But just to recap, the concrete for the fans came in from Northern Ireland and they're confident they'll pass any tests. So what do they do? And they have a big decision to make in the next couple of months. You know, I don't think anyone has thousands of euro to unnecessarily change foundations, but maybe, I was going to say maybe the new code or whatever the word might be. Sorry, it escapes me at the moment. I was going to say maybe that would cover their foundations, but the house would be built on them and then they're out of the scheme. So they would have no sort of state guarantee on foundations, if that makes sense. So they're in a bind. What can they do? And even if they bore them now themselves and get them tested, will that test be scientifically sound enough for the insurance company who look for any which way to avoid liability? Let us know. There's bound to be someone out there with some advice. 086 60 25,000. We got notification yesterday from the HSC, so this isn't me having a go at the hospital or listeners giving out for no good reason. Last evening, Letterkenny University Hospital was at a very critical point. The emergency department was very, very busy. They'd seen over 400 people in the last couple of days. There's always this post-weekend and over-weekend situation. But as of last evening, there was 99 people waiting in the ED. And just to put to bed the suggestion that people are there for no reason at all, 34 people went to the ED and were deemed sick enough to get a bed. Not one single bed available in the hospital. 34 people, 3 dozen. That's a busload of people. You know, think about a school bus, 32, 33 seats. That bus full of people needing to get a bed in the hospital, and there was no bed. As a result, very long waiting times in ED. And there's also visiting restrictions on some wards because there's a COVID outbreak. So the HSE told us yesterday, over three days, 411 people at the ED. I mentioned 99 people in the ED of last evening, 34 waiting on a bed. The hospital advising patients who attend ED for routine and non-urgent treatment, they'll experience very long waiting times. Elective procedures, sadly, were cancelled, and some of them are really quite serious, but those affected were contacted directly, but those cancellations were today. So all available beds in the hospital in use. This is coming up time and time again. Every bed taken up. Is there an issue with discharging? Is there an issue with home help packages or spaces in other facilities where people need continued care but not acute care? Is there an issue in families saying, look, we can't take this person back into the home because we don't have the time or resources to care for the person and they're stuck there? Like, what's going on? There's a number of things, but we can't just ride this roller coaster perpetually, can we? Something seriously needs to be done. The hospital clearly isn't big enough because every bed's taken up quite regularly now. But a caller says, Greg, while I agree the staff at LUH are very good, I think it's important to say our experience from 2018. We were expecting our fourth child. We went to scan, was told in a very blunt and cold manner that our baby wasn't going to survive and would have a syndrome of some sort if they did survive. The term and their life would be short, as in days. The way that news was delivered was nothing short of disgraceful. Today, we've a beautiful, normal little girl. If we were different people, God only knows what would have happened. On different topics here, Greg, in relation to speeding, first of all, we have to accept that there will never be Gardaí in every road in Ireland at all times, but there are others who are you, me and the public. So let's get really serious here and do something radical. How about you have a dash cam in your vehicle and someone passes you out on a solid white line at speed? You send a copy of the occurrence to the Gardaí. They issue a ticket to the registered owner. After the ticket is paid, you receive a monetary reward, say €50. With complete anonymity, of course. Oh, this is sounding very dodgy. Hey, listen, I like ideas. But the caller goes on to say, so the next time someone passes someone illegally, he'll be wondering, does that guy have a dash cam? In effect, the public become the Gardaí. As I said, it's radical, but are we serious about bad driving or not? Just a thought. It is just a thought, but what do you think? Paying people to shop others, €50, and you retain your anonymity. Is that open for exploitation or is it just a radical idea? Someone looking at it and saying something needs to be done. A caller says, if only people understood that HGV drivers had to put up with from cyclists and cars, drivers on the roads, giving the cyclists the 5 metre space has made it impossible to pass. I'm on a timetable and this space often leaves me late. And on most Donegal roads, there's not enough space to make this move. Yesterday in Muff, I met a group of male walkers who looked like they were over 65 and should know better. When I blew at them, they gave me the fingers. Only 2% of collisions are caused by HGV drivers. Letterkenny Main Street is a nightmare with people on their phones walking out in front of drivers. I have seen that myself, actually, and I only drive a wee car. The caller says it's time people started taking responsibility and responsible steps to ensure they don't have an accident, but too many car drivers in particular think they are professional drivers. Last one here for before we take a break. If things change with the tax taken into this country from these big companies, the only people paying is the Irish people. They'll tax us even more. Car tax, LPT, TV, DOG, PRSI, PAYE, USC, take all the time. Our take-home pay will drop if you're working. Products will become more expensive, so we have less. The government will then spend less on services like health, roads, infrastructure. Governments have destroyed our fishing industry and are trying to destroy our farmers and the meat industry. The only thing they're interested in is data centres and multinationals. Big supermarkets, nothing left in our small towns anymore, which won't return once a town starts to die. It's impossible to stop it. Honestly, I don't think our government care about the everyday people anymore. That's the opinion of one listener.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Okay, time for Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 8th of April. And we welcome down from Buncrana Garda Station, Garda Sean Sweeney. Sean, thanks so much for calling down. How are you keeping?
I'm good, Greg. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us. And we've quite a bit to get through. So we'll start with appeals and a burglary in Buncrana.
Yeah, this occurred at a business premises at Ballymacarry Lower in Buncrana on Sunday, the 6th of April at approximately 8 p.m. A window at the front of the property was smashed and entries gained to the building. It's not believed anything had been stolen though. So CCTV shows three youths walk past the building and two of them return the area a short time later wearing face masks. These two youths in question are aged approximately 11 to 12 and are wearing all black clothing. So our appeal is anybody observe these youths on foot to make contact with Gardaí, or if you're travelling the area and have dash cam footage between 7:30 and 8:30 p.m, please make it available to Gardaí Mochrana. You can contact them 93205 40.
Very worrying age profile there. I think it's in everyone's best interest, the young people and the parents stroke guardians, that this behaviour is addressed.
Yeah,
because
exactly,
I don't think anyone wants anyone in the home at that age at this crack.
No, I don't go down that route to that age, no.
Road traffic collision in Ballybuffet, the subject of our next appeal, Sean.
Yeah, this involved a bus and a car. It occurred in N15 at Mean Carrier, Ballybuffet, on Saturday the 5th of April at 20 to 1 in the morning. So both vehicles were travelling from Ballybuffet towards Donegal Town at the time of the collision. And the drivers were both taken to hospital for non-serious injuries. Our appeal is anybody who witnessed the collision to make contact, or anybody who travelled along that route who dash cam footage around that time to make it available to Gardaí and Letterkenny on 9167100.
Road traffic collision in Falkara this time.
Yeah, this occurred at a local road. It's the L1013 at Ray, Falkara, on Tuesday the 1st of April at approximately 8:40 a.m. The driver reported he was travelling the road from Falkara towards Dunfanaghy when his car collided with an oncoming red car. The damage is caused to the driver's side of his car as a result. So this road is very narrow, and the driver of the other car didn't remain at the scene. So our first appeal is that the driver make contact with Gardaí and any other road users who have dash cam footage from that time, make it available to Gardaí Milford on 915-3060.
Yeah, and someone's going to spot a newly damaged red car on the driver's side. So I think the driver best come forward, because you've got good information there. It's a reappeal in relation to a collision in Rathmullen next.
Yes, this appeal was issued last week. It's a road traffic collision on Main Street Rathmullen, Sunday, March 30th, between 12:05 p.m. and 12:10 p.m. Man was crossing the road and he was struck by a black car, causing him to fall to the ground. The car did stop a distance away and the male driver and passenger came to check on the injured pedestrian. So unfortunately, no details were exchanged and there are no further details available on the car, but the CCTV is being checked. So the driver sustained injuries were not believed to be life-threatening. So we'd appeal to the driver to get in touch, or anybody who observed the collision or have dash cam footage, to make contact with Milford on 915-3060.
Right, we've been talking about this yesterday and today. The damage that was caused has impacted on people. This is an appeal about who caused the damage. Mm-hmm. So this is in Rathmullen.
Yeah, so it's an incident of criminal damage. This is the Rathmullen Pier Services Building on Friday the 4th of April between approximately 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. The damage was caused to the doors of the building and rubbish was thrown around the area. So anybody who's any relevant information, please contact the Gardaí Milford on 915-3060 or the Garda Confidential Line 1800-666-111.
Yep, lots of people will have information.
Yes.
And this kind of behaviour needs to be discouraged. And the way that's discouraged is people are found responsible for it. So there's local people are going to have info. And as you say, even if they don't want to contact Gardaí directly, and why not? But anyway, that confidential line 1-800-666-111. A theft in Kilmacrenan next.
Yeah, this is a theft of a new oil boiler, the rear house at Castleian, Kilmacrenan, between 7 p.m. on Tuesday the 1st of April and 10 a.m. on Wednesday the 2nd of April. The house in question is undergoing renovation work and the boiler had only recently been installed. So our appeal to anybody who may have observed any type of suspicious activity or vehicles in the area between those times, please contact Milford on 915-3060.
Yeah, and that's a couple in a relatively close area where ongoing work, renovations, I'm not linking them, don't get me wrong, or I'm not sure what the Gardaí are in that regard. But the point being is if you're building or renovating, there comes a point where you install expensive equipment. You know, there's at least two in a reasonably close area here in over the last 3 or 4 weeks. You need to be extra careful, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Take any steps you can to, you know, if you can get the CCTV cameras installed prior, because it definitely helps.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about that. A theft this time in Creeves, Smith.
Yeah. So this is a theft of a child's bike, Litcherbug, Creeves, Smith and Letterkenny on Sunday the 30th of March between 3 p.m. and 10 p.m. The bike, which is black and orange, with its black and orange writing, was stolen from outside a house in that area. So our appeal to anybody who has any relevant information in relation to the theft or the current location of the bike, please contact Letterkenny on 9167100.
Okay, those were the appeals. Right, an update actually on recent anti-drug activity as well. Another positive development.
Yeah, there was an intelligence-led operation with the revenue officers to seize approximately 112 kilos of herbal cannabis with an estimated value of €2.2 million. This occurred in Balbuffet on Tuesday the 1st of April. So there was a joint operation between the Garda National Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau, the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit and the Revenue Customs Services. So Garda arrested two men aged in their 30s in connection with this, who were later charged to appear in court. Investigations are still ongoing there. So we urge the public, please report any relevant information you have regarding any drug dealing in your local community.
Yeah, indeed. And an update too on an appeal that was made last week.
Yeah, this was in relation to an assault and theft incident that occurred in Main Street, Buncrana on March 27th. A man has since been arrested and charged in connection with that incident. So we'd like to thank the public, anybody who assists in the investigation. We're always grateful. Look, we can't do this without the cooperation of the public. It's crucial for the work we do.
Yeah, indeed. And you can't always say when there are wins, either for operational reasons or what have you. So it's nice to hear progress was made in that investigation as a result of the appeals made. Right, Road Safety Week at the ATU. What's going on there?
Yeah, so Garda Peter McGee from Letterkenny Road Policing Unit, he was on campus yesterday at the ATU Donegal. He delivered the Lifesaver programme as an advice in relation to road safety. So we want to thank all the students and staff who called over for a chat and attended the presentation. So the Lifesaver project is the road safety education programme. It's provided nationwide by trained Gardaí from the Roads Policing Unit. So if you're interested in having us visit your school, office, business or community group, contact your local station and we can arrange that.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, thanks so much for that, Sean. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks,
that's Garda Sean Sweeney, who came down to us from Buncrana Garda Station. We will. You can listen back to the appeals on our podcast, or indeed you can watch back on our Facebook page and Garda Síochána Facebook page a little later. And it's back live for you next Tuesday, just after the 10 o'clock news. Okay, right. We are joined in the programme, and he barely got a chance to put his bum in the seat, by Liam O'Gogan, member of the Older Persons Executive in Donegal. Thanks for calling up, Liam. How are you getting on?
Yep.
We were about
Thanks
to engage in a
on.
Fascinating conversation about electric cars, but unfortunately it was cut short.
I should say before we start, I've been thinking about this over the last couple of days. The concept of older persons may be misconstrued within our world. The definition for older persons now is over 55s. Now I'm 69 this year, but I certainly didn't think that when I was 55 I was an older person. But so the conversation here isn't necessarily about people in their 70s and 80s, but right from 55 years old up, you know.
Yeah, and also I think maybe because some people embrace getting older. Right, and some
sure.
people are resistant. Okay. So some people
that's the reason I said that, because a lot of people say, oh, that's not for me.
But
just
some
for
people
the old
don't
fogies.
Want to be categorised as an older person,
no,
do they?
I know that from my involvement in Manshed, Joe. You only go there if you're an old man, you know.
But I suppose when we talk about specific initiatives, we often have to compartmentalise people, don't we?
Sure,
so it's for that purpose. But look at your... I don't think you view yourself as old. Do you? It's how you feel.
Well, no,
you just certainly don't look old.
I'm 69. My father died at 72, you know, and to be honest with you, but I think longevity has improved and life quality and healthy living has improved. But really, my involvement with the Older Persons Council came about when I turned 65 years of age. I decided I wanted to become proactively involved in the design and shaping of my own aging experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wanted for a service and a world life quality which would be better than that was available to my parents' generation. I'm not complaining on behalf of my parents, but, you know, I heard earlier you were talking about, say, the problems in Letterkenny Hospital today just as I was driving in. And, you know, to a large degree, that can also affect older people as well.
Disproportionately,
obviously, as we age, we have health issues. But the whole initiative is called Smart Aging, and really we're saying as we age, two things happen. Well, firstly, you know, once I'm in a pensionable situation, I have a freedom that I didn't have, say, in my 40s. You mm-hmm. know, childcare demands and work demands and things. Like that. So we are freed up a lot as we move into that over 55 years age group. So what can we do to age healthily?
Do you think sometimes, just because there's an emotional health as well, I sometimes feel when I speak to older people that they feel that they have little to contribute, or that their contribution is over, and they struggle with that. It's about a feeling of self-worth, which I'm not going to feel. I'll tell you that for a fact. But a lot of this is sort of sometimes self-inflicted, I think.
Just say, I mean, I retired as a lecturer in the third level at 55. Back in 2009, and I do say that for a period of time after, I felt lost insofar as I don't have any purpose.
Right, yeah, okay. You know, and so more,
I don't have any input.
Yeah.
Where do I, like in my work, daily work life, I had impact in whatever was going on, and suddenly I'm saying I'm not relevant in that situation. And that's taken an adjustment for myself because, well, certainly this year, I'm certainly relevant in determining what I want to happen for my life. Mm-hmm. But there's no reason to think that you retire and then you just lie about and do nothing. And in fact, I suppose when I became involved with the Older Persons Council in Donegal, you know what amazed me is we've had some Zoom meetings recently in relation to this event this weekend that we're going to talk about. But, you know, on the Zoom, they have either no hair like me or grey hair like a lot of the others with a bit of strawberry purple or whatever built in. But the reality is these people are real switched on. And, you know, every one of them is saying, we don't want to be seen as somebody lying around waiting for somebody to put food in our mouth. We actively want to enjoy and be part of the future. And we embrace all these challenges and phenomenal changes that are happening. I think one thing that's happened in a post-COVID release is we all got a bit of a wake-up call in 2020 that the world as we knew it was simply put on hold. And when we've come out the other side, we say, you know, tempus fugit, carpe diem, grab the day because time's flying on. And maybe that's where a lot of this conversation has emerged from.
Yeah, and we'll get on to what we're talking about too. But I think too, what COVID did, and I think we shouldn't forget it either, is that gave everyone or most people sort of an insight into what it can be like. You know, maybe if your partner passes away, you know, isolation, lack of engagement with other human beings. You know, feeling restricted, you know, a lot of, because sometimes society is not built up for people of all abilities, right? So I, how quick we forget, that's the thing you see.
No, but also the idea just of, we were asked to physically isolate, but we ended up socially isolating. You know, that's the unforeseen thing. Like Donegal's 160,000 people, a lot of people in rural communities, etc. And there's a lot of people, and then also, by the way, people who ended up working remotely from home, there's a social isolation there. Like when you're in a workspace every day, I walk in here to Ireland today, there's a lubrication of human contact that doesn't happen when you're in that remote situation. Mm. However, you know, I keep saying to people, this initiative really come from how many things have changed in the last 5 years, almost beyond belief. And what's going to happen in the next 5 years? Like what I see is that the world is going, like the world has already changed in the last 90 days, as we've seen from the impact of America's decision to change the world. So things can change very rapidly. And one of the big issues that, like we're involved, say, looking at a healthy aging strategy for the next 5 years in Donegal. And one of the things that jumps out is older person. And I repeat, older person, 55 and older. Access to getting to the health scenario. How do you get to your appointment? How do you get to a hospital? All those sort of things. So this concept, mobility is a real restrictive issue, and particularly in the rural communities. So this ultimately issue here is about mobility as a service. The idea of door-to-door mobility that you could, we will soon be in a world where it'll be possible to get driverless cars to go to people's houses, to collect them, to bring them wherever
it's
locations
happening
they
right
are.
Now. It's yeah. happening I mean, across the, America.
And oh, well, at the moment, like you can watch endless YouTube videos in China of cars, driverless cars driving around. So my point is, if we never believed, let's say before 2020, it'll never change. It's already changed.
It's actually quite interesting. It has been an incredibly quick timeline. The older persons executive are hosting an open day experience of electric vehicles. It's on this coming Saturday, the 12th of April, in Letterkenny, in Divers Garage in Letterkenny. It runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So you, the executive, approached Divers and saying, look, what need did you feel you were meeting in approaching Divers, and what do you hope to come from this?
Right. So, I mean, we've been having this conversation within our group in the Older Persons Council, and it's a whole broad issue when we talk about smart aging. So smart aging also takes into account the upgrading of people's houses in terms of sustainable energy, solar power, home automation. And that fits right into the developments that are happening in electric vehicles. So electric vehicles they're that much safer. They're like, it's really interesting driving this morning that if you have an electric car, and I believe you have been the proud owner or user of electric cars recently.
Sure, yeah.
And I saw you have an electric car within your fleet here today. And one thing, if you live in any hilly environment, the idea of having to use your handbrake to start your car is finished. Now, there's lots of people who have had difficulties in their cars over managing it. So the electric car brings forward a lot of, you know, powerful possibilities. So we then reached out and said, well, how could we maybe approach dealers and maybe have an experience as older people? What would be going as a group of people and experience driving the cars, let's say four people go for a spin in a car together, they get to see what it's like in the back, in the front, they talk about the chat and whatever. So we approached Terence Diver in Divers, and both himself and Eugene, his sales manager, and the team. I mean, look, they really latched onto the bigger picture here. What I really want to reach out to them is this is not a smash and grab by then and selling a particular type of car which they sell, but really growing the market of possibility. And we've also been quite supported by the Donegal Electric Vehicle Association, with Jerry Grennan. There is a Facebook group. There's about 350 people in that group who have cars. So they often get together to share experiences of their cars, and we're hoping that they might come in on the day. So the big thing here is, somebody said to me, if I go in there, will I be under pressure to buy a car? Mm-hmm. Will somebody be, you know, like, you know, come into my parlour, said the spider did a fly?
See, we're at the situation, Liam, now. You talked about what's changed over 5 years. In the last 5 years, electric cars, you know, were like a pipe dream for many people. But now we're in a situation where locally, right across this county in various outlets, you can get a electric car for 18 grand.
That's right, yeah. I mean,
And often the ones I've seen are actually quite high, so they're quite easy for getting in and out of, right? And if you do town driving or the odd Scotch to Glenveagh or wherever it might be from Letterkenny, the range in these cars is perfectly adequate.
Yeah, I mean, this idea of, for a lot of people, range anxiety, or what will happen if I break down? I was amazed on a statistic recently. Per density of population, Donegal has more charging points. It and Kerry have the largest number per person charging points in the country. And they're constantly springing up. But the other thing is, like, how often am I going to drive to Dublin in my car? Most of my drives are down to the supermarket or down to my local man's shed or over to the church or down to the surgery or the pharmacy or whatever. So that's most people's drives. So I think electric cars. The other thing that last night we have a sing-song at our man's shed in Gweedore every Monday. And one of the guys, I told him about Saturday, and he said, you know what, I was just thinking about this because I have to replace my car. Mm. Now, he's not in a position to pay a lot of money for a big new car, and he was shocked to think that you could buy an electric car new for 18,000. But he was just wondering, God, I wonder what that would be like. And he said, not a lot of second-hand ones coming to the market. But actually, no, we're really 5 or 6 years into the electric market now.
I'm starting to see more.
They are
like,
starting to come on board.
There's Nissan Leafs there available.
Well, I know they've been around for the early adopters.
I know,
but cars are now coming. Second-hand cars are coming on the market.
Sure, I agree.
But what this man gave me, look, that's what this is about. If you think that, why don't I go down and have a look, have a chat? And this is really about the conversation that might emerge and start. So, I mean, Divers have kindly put on a bit of a spread and a, you know, cup of tea and all that sort of stuff. But what we're hoping to do is to have the conversation. And the conversation not just about...
So is this about the ease of driving electric vehicles if you're an older person or to get... Because, I mean, obviously, if you've driven a golf cart, that's what it's like driving an electric vehicle. It's two pedals, effectively. Well,
if you're old enough to have driven bumpers.
Bumper cars, well, there you go.
Without hitting each other.
But you have, you have regenerative braking. So oftentimes you're driving on one pedal. There's more advanced sort of anti-collision technology. They generally have better cameras around them for parking and what have you. Is it about sort of people who might be discouraged from driving to have their independence, or is it a green issue, or is it everything?
Well, just for example, I mean, my partner has eye issues, and you know it affects her confidence driving. And when we recently test drove some of these vehicles, like, there were amazing features. I mean, one of the features said automatic dimming of your headlights when you're coming across someone else. The cameras could show you what you're surrounding, your mirrors, etc. And a friend of mine recently, he told me, I bought a car in 2020, he said, and I'm not really a car guy. I've never looked back. He said to me, I drive now, he lives in Dundalk, but he drives to Wicklow every Monday to walk with his friends. And he says, I go out on a motorway, I press two paddles and they sit there and it brings me. But he said, the most invaluable thing to me, I've had two hip replacements. And what I do is I just pull the car up to the location I'm in and I then press a button and it parks itself and I can get out and I can get back in. So, yes, I think it, for someone who has any type of mobility issue, it absolutely extends their capacity to do things. For people who want low maintenance, because obviously these vehicles, they just run. And somebody said, yeah, they break down. But they... Look, I suppose my background is as an electronics engineer, and I suppose I've always loved motors. I was involved with the design of the Dart trains in Dublin back as far as 1982. Would you believe 42 years since electric trains are run in Dublin? And these are Rolls-Royce machines. And I just love motors. I always think compared to, I know petrol heads will kill me here, but people who love internal combustion engines, so many moving parts. I mean, a motor really has a rotating armature. And really, that's it. So for me, I love the technology, but I think that the ease of, interesting you say, getting in and out of them. So that EV car I saw out there today, in some of those models, when you're getting out of the car, the seat actually moves back and lets you get in and out. So I think that aspect is going to be of interest. But the other thing is that if it starts a conversation amongst people who didn't think that it was possible, I have a car 15 years and it's done me okay. But I can tell you, if you have a 15-year-old car, you know what you're running into, regular maintenance problems, etc. The reality of it is, I think electric cars, one, they're getting better all the time. And the other thing is you're going to have, I mean, I think the service period might be something like 2-year service period. But I'm just hoping, like, really what we would like to do is strike a foot forward for Donegal. I mean, Donegal is different. Let's make it a healthier place to live. And that idea of smart aging is central to it.
Yeah, okay. It's an interesting one, and I'm sure there'll be great turnout. It's an open day experience of electric vehicles. It's on the 12th in Letterkenny, Endeavour's Garage in Letterkenny. Runs from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's some treats on in store. All questions answered, I am sure. Do people just turn up on the day? Or?
Yeah, no. I mean, the idea of bring a friend. I like to think that people say, "Look, let's go down and have a look at this together." I think it's very important that people will be made, like a lot number of us from the Older Persons Council will be there. And the other thing is, what we're also trying to do is drum up an engagement with more people. Like, if you're over 55 years of age and you want to be part and you're passionate about the quality of life in Donegal, we in the Older Persons Council will welcome you. We're reaching out. So this has multiple strands to this.
Of course.
So Saturday morning, I say 10 to 1, good time in the morning. Come in, have a cup of tea and a chat. We'd love to see people.
Okay, listen, it's been lovely having you over. Liam, you drive electric yourself?
No, but I've ordered one. And again, the problem with ordering cars, once you order it, are we there yet?
I know. But I think that's particularly a male condition that we have.
Oh, but when do you want the next gadget?
Just
hopefully soon.
I just go from one obsession to the next and I obsess over it until I get it. All right, okay, hopefully soon, as you say. Brilliant stuff. Liam O'Gogan, thank you very much for your time. He is member of the Older Persons Executive in Donegal. We've got contact details here for Liam, by the way, so if there's anything you want to run past him about the work of the Older Persons Executive, or indeed the event taking place on Saturday, give us a buzz and we can hopefully connect you together. Right, talking of inclusion, May, good morning to you. Thanks for joining me.
Right. I'm just happened to be listening to your programme this morning, and then I had a letter here yesterday that I need my PPS card renewed, or public service travel card, or whatever you call it. And so I rang this department in Sligo just to find out, where do I go? What's the local office that I can go to get my new card? And it's the same whether I ring ASB, whether I ring water services, whether I go to any place, insurance, it's the same thing. You're sitting 5 minutes listening to the whole performance in Irish first, then you listen to it in English, then you're told then, if you want to reach such in a department, A, B, or C, ring, press 1, press 2, press 3, and you press that number, and then you're put through to another department. And at the end of this conversation this morning, I am told that I'm given a big, long, computerised number and told to go and I'll find out the information from there. Now, I am not au fait with computerisation. And I come from a time or an age where if I rang, wanted to find out about my card or anything, whether it was car or insurance or whatever it was, you rang and you got speaking to somebody in an office and they were able to deal with it or put you on to somebody else that could deal with it. But that age is gone now.
Do you think sometimes...
And we're sitting in limbo.
Yeah, do you think sometimes they're designed almost to purposely frustrate you so that you don't ring and instead try and...
Total frustration. Mm. Total frustration. You'd hang up and you wouldn't bother about it. Only then it goes then to the family. You get some of the children then for it to go and do it all computerised for you.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to do it.
And that seems to be the only road they want to go.
Yeah, you want to be able to do it for yourself, though. I mean, you're an independent person. May, I know you're coming from this because you said it yourself from an older person's perspective, but I don't think the frustration is exclusive to older people. You know, there's people maybe of difficulty in reading numbers or visually impaired or whatever. You know, there's a lot of people this new way of doing things doesn't include, and they often don't get heard.
Well, all I can say here now, thanks to Highland Radio, because you ring Highland Radio and there's a voice there at the other side that deals with whatever you're asking about or the problem that it is. You're not going to be changed from A to B to C and somebody that, I'll put you through to such a department and then you're none the wiser anyway. The end of it.
All right, okay. Very frustrating, so, mate. But very well
totally
explained. Yeah, thanks so much.
I think
that they
don't cater for people that are not off with computers.
No, I think I think in our rush to move forward, sometimes May we're not considering those that we leave behind.
Well, I don't know. Is there less jobs out there, or is there more jobs? Because, as I said, God be with the days when you could lift the phone and ring to the person or the department that you wanted, and you would get an answer to your problem.
I went into the bank recently, and I the only human interaction I had was a human telling me how to use a computer to do my transaction. All right, May, listen, I must move on. Thank you so very much indeed for that. Right, so, of course, yesterday we heard from a frustrated member of the public. The Rathmullen Public Services, the toilets, etc., were closed. There was a sign up pointing that out. We heard there recently in the Community Garda information slot that this was as a result of what seemed to be a bit of a anti-social blow-up, effectively. But now I think we have some positive news to be delivered to us by Councillor Pádraig McGarvey. Good morning, Pádraig.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners.
Right, it's unfortunate. No one's to blame other than those responsible for us finding us in this situation, but work has been speedy to get these services back open. So what happened, what needed to happen to rectify it, and where are we at?
Well, on Friday evening, I suppose there was a large amount of... people, beachgoers and people using the local link to Rathmullen. I think there was an organised birthday party there of young teenagers, I suppose, but there's nobody to blame there. There was a large Garda presence as well about the town, which is unusual for Rathmullen. The damage was caused to the toilets. The caretaker on Friday night just closed the door, and on Saturday morning he contacted me I suppose we investigated and we've seen the damage that was caused. There was hinges needed, the doors was off the frames, the enclosures was gone altogether. So there was a danger there as well. So we just made the decision, because we couldn't get nobody on the council to come out because it was the weekend. And we made the decision to close them. We closed them, and thankfully on Monday, Kevin McCluskey from the Donegal County Council and myself organised a contractor to have them fixed, and we had them fully operational by yesterday evening.
Mm. What can we do to stamp out this type of activity, Pádraig? Because, you know, we haven't really even hit... We've had a bit of good weather, right, but it's early April. What can we do to sort of try and limit these acts of antisocial behaviour, or is there anything we can do if people are intent on causing this type of damage?
That's a hard one, Greg, but I suppose parents have a responsibility. Like, these young children weren't, I'm not saying it was them now, but today these young children was on buses to Rathmullen here on Friday evening. The locals aren't, we, and even myself, I was down there on Friday evening, we don't see this going on very often, and there was drinking involved and that kind of stuff. But I think there's a responsibility on parents, you know, to figure out where they are and see what they're doing. But it's not easy. I'm a father myself, so, and I know what's ahead of me. So, you know, it's something that's hard to deal with.
Okay, well, listen, the Gardaí are looking for anyone with any information as to what happened. That's one part of this. The other part is the quick actions of yourself and council representatives in getting a contractor on site to get these services open for what is a beautiful day, and tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day as well. So rest assured, Rathmullen's open for business.
I do understand there was quite an annoyance for people that didn't have them services, because it is a great facility, and I suppose there is a bit of respect needed there for people using the toilets, because even the caretaker there cleaning them in the evenings and that, he is faced with quite a challenge, and respect and credit where it's due there for them and the local group who looks after them.
How often are they cleaned, do you know? I don't want to spring that on you, but just out of interest.
They're serviced every night, and as opposed to the amount of people using them, Greg, it is hard to keep on top of them. I have been calling on the council for more supports for them, especially in the good weather, and I'm going to continue working on it, and hopefully we can have a better outcome. They are public toilets, so, you know, there's not somebody on that site all the time servicing them, so it's not easy looking after them.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Pádraig. That's Councillor Pádraig McGarvey there in Independent. Those toilets are open for business. Dolores on Facebook says, I only cleaned my windows Sunday, and this morning there's a lot of grit or dust on them again. Is there something in the skies? Well, this was forecast, Dolores. I perhaps should have mentioned it. It was to do with the weather and the wind coming up from the south, and it whipped up sands from Africa, and these things are forecastable now, and what you have is sand that's travelled all the way from Africa on your windows. There you go. If you tried to get it posted here, it would cost a fortune, but you got it delivered for free. So those things are forecast now. Maybe if I come across it, I'll mention it into the future. But that's what that was, and you'll see it on your cars as well. It's sub-Sahara sand, I believe, that's been picked up by the wind and transported up here and then deposited. A caller says that need to be cleaned better, those toilets, and kept a bit better. They are a disgrace. Well, you heard from Pádraig the challenge in doing so. They're cleaned every day, but, you know, you get a big crowd mid-afternoon. There is public responsibility. I wish we were just more responsible ourselves.